So what do you get when you cross a wizened Gen Xer with a proud millennial?
Here we go.
A mixtape filled with
Britney Spears songs?
Or maybe a rotary landline telephone
that takes selfies?
Maybe a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Or Tom and Jerry each get participation trophies?
No, 21st century solutions.
According to Kaylin and Ramsey.
It is June 29th, 2022. How are you doing today, Kaylin?
I'm doing good. We just moved this morning to Hershey, Pennsylvania. So not a very long move because if you remember, we were in Gettysburg last week. Had a great time in Gettysburg. Our daughter ended up getting a little bit of a stomach flu, which we were really worried was going to mean we were going to miss out on Gettysburg. And you can't come stay in Gettysburg and not take in the history. It was only like a 24-hour bug and she was back up and running. And so we got to do the battlefields and the museum on Sunday, and I feel like there's like not much more hallow ground than you could get on than Gettysburg, at least not in the United States, you know what I mean? Very just surreal experience to be there. I love history. My dad's a giant history buff. Growing up on the weekends when I would spend with my dad, was a lot of History Channel, a lot of Learning Channel back before the Learning Channel became about reality television. so it was really cool to be there and get to see all of that in first person. So
yeah, what was it really in Gettysburg that you guys saw? So what tell us a little bit more.
So Gettysburg is one of the largest battles of the Civil War, took place there, was really the turning point of the war for the Union to, start moving out ahead of the Confederates. And so we went to the Visitor Center and Museum, been to lots of National Park Visitor Centers, but this is definitely a whole nother level. The amount of stuff, I'm blanking on the word, for relics from the Civil War that they have there is just amazing. Like I said, we've been to lots of national parks, but this is something totally different. We did do the museum, which is kind of separate that you have to pay for, but definitely worth it to go in and see just rooms and rooms full of guns and uniforms and messenger bags and bayonets and basically anything you can think of that people, cared enough about what was going on in our history to save it and make sure that it kept through time. And it's amazing. If you ever get a chance to go, I would absolutely recommend it for all ages. Jack and I joked that we were glad we didn't bring my dad because we would probably still be there 4 days later.
couldn't drag him out of there.
No, he would read every relic had a story to it and whose it was and just, you can actually in the museum, they talk about how the people of Gettysburg immediately went to conserving the land and what had gone on there. And that Union soldiers, came back for years to help them get everything together and make sure that what happened there was not forgotten. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
How about you? How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. The rain came back. We had like 3 days of sunny weather in Western Washington.
That it was your summer.
Started raining again. Yeah. Happy summer. I hope everybody liked it. But maybe it'll be summer again. Like maybe we'll get another summer here in a couple of days. I'm hoping that will indeed be the case, but who knows? Pretty chill out here. But hey, last couple of podcasts feel like we did stuff that I was wanting or doing. So tell me what would you like to talk about today?
Well, we did our father figures podcast that we had your dad on a few weeks ago, and I thought it was time to give homage to the mothers out there, and even more so the modern working moms out there, which I obviously am one of those. And so I thought it would be pretty cool to just talk about that and what that means and what that looks like for so many different families in different ways.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that you brought that up. We definitely did, focus on dads. We did a whole thing on father figures. So I think it's great. We should do a thing on modern moms today. So tell me, what is it like for you to, be the working mom, the modern mom in your family?
Well, I didn't start out this way. When our oldest was born, I was working full time through my whole pregnancy and everything, and then called up my boss about a month before I was supposed to go back to work, and we worked out a plan for me to go back to work only 3 days a week, which worked for me. Owen went to daycare 2 days a week and went to one of his cousins for 1 day a week, which was great because I only had to pay for 2 days of daycare, and I knew he was in really great hands, being loved on at both of those spots, and getting extra time with family as well. So that was how I, went back. I was the modern mom. I was the pumping at work mom. I did it all. I wanted to make sure that I still was close to my baby. But we live in Western Washington, which is one of the most expensive places in the country to live. Becomes that so more every day, I feel like. And so I needed to go back to work, and while it was hard, it also, gave me my own life, and I really enjoyed the work I was doing at that time. I was a business banker in downtown Everett, and so I really felt compelled to continue to go back and see my customers and continue to do the work I was doing for a few years prior to having Owen. And then I decided to do a little bit of a career change, and I went to work at an insurance agency, which I don't think I've talked about that on the podcast yet. It was a very short stint. I did become licensed in that amount of time, but as the months went on, our boss now had continued to want me back in banking, and actually the position I'm in now was originally kind of supposed to just be a side gig to the insurance, and then it just kind of exploded more than we anticipated, and I went to work full time as a solar lender, and it just been doing that ever since. As I've had two more children since I've worked for the credit union, and I just have managed to keep it all going during that time. I barely, take time off work. I continue to work through everything that I can. And my husband was always working during that time too. We just made it work. Our younger two really haven't been in daycare. Occasionally they would go somewhere, or I would have help come in, help from my mom, help from other family members. But as the COVID times came around, things really changed. Everyone was at home. At that time, Owen was a full time in elementary school, and so he was at home and at an age where it's not easy to do homeschool and then entertain two younger children while trying to work. And our work had really become more than full time at that point. Solar really exploded during quarantine, which was awesome for the whole industry. I think people were kind of at home and wondering what they could do, number one, to save money and be more economic and be more green. But number two, I think that in the United States, we kind of realized that we were not invincible, which I think a lot of us have kind of that mindset, you know? And so solar really exploded, and solar storage as well exploded, because people wanted to be independent of the grid, independent of these big electric conglomerates that we all, you know, pay our monthly payments to. So, as time went on and the beginning of school year in 2020 started, you know, it was just very apparent that I was not going to be able to have Owen on his Zooms and have the other two kids and potentially my mom or someone else there helping me was just going to be too much for our household. And at that time, you know, Jack and I's roles had really kind of reversed. And so we decided it was time for him. He first took leave. His work was, you know, kind of taking turns on for people to take leave because they didn't want everybody there at the same time and around each other to make social distancing while at work easier. So he took leave, and we really enjoyed that time. He enjoyed it. He enjoys homeschooling. He enjoys getting to be with the kids. So we decided that was going to be permanent for us and wasn't going to create some changes in our lives. Absolutely. But we wanted to do it. And then during that time, you know, we decided, well, heck, if I'm online every day and the kids aren't in school and, you know, we're not really seeing a lot of people because of what's going on in the world, that's when we decided to do this RV thing that we've been doing for over a year now. So being a modern working mom has really allowed me actually freedom to be able to live a really fun life. I feel very supported in my role at the credit union and at Easy Solar Loan as a mom and as a full-time RVer and just as a woman. I feel like we're very lucky to have a very supportive executive management team and HR and just feel like, you know, A lot of people out there just are not fitting into what, you know, we used to see as a family of you know, a mom and a working dad and a mom at home and 2.5 kids and a dog and a cat. That's just
you forgot the white picket fence.
Yes, and the white picket fence. Of course. And so I just think that you know, there's a lot of, you know, of my friends that I went to school with, classmates, people that I've worked with over the years, other people who work at the credit union, they, you know, have mom out there as the sole or the primary breadwinner. And it really just shows how much we're progressing as a society, especially when we go back to the podcast where we talked to your dad, you know, and he talked about what it was like growing up for him and that, you know, dad went to work every day, mom stayed home, and that's how their entire neighborhood was. And, you know, in my family, for the most part, women have always worked. My grandparents had kids as children. They were children themselves. So they were teenagers. And my grandma, after having three kids in 3 years, she went to school to become a nurse, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. Back in the 50s, that a 19-year-old with three children, which me saying that might shock people, but you know, that was, it was the 50s. That was kind of what happened. So she was 19, 20 years old and had three kids and was going to night school and became a nurse. And, they always kind of split the role. My grandpa even actually was more of the caretaker of the girls, because he was there in the mornings and during the day when they would get home from school, and then he worked he worked nights, and my grandma worked days when she was working. So we've always in our family kind of had that that women go to work. They, not a lot of them stayed home, so I had some good influences in my life when it came to that. And you know, I see my friends' families, you know, it was very split growing up as well. A lot of my friends had moms that stayed home, and then a lot of them had moms who worked and possibly, you know, made as much or almost as much as the men. I know back in the 80s and 90s that wage gap was a little bit further apart, but, you know, that was kind of the start of the times where the Pacific Northwest was getting so expensive that you really needed two incomes if you wanted to have, you know, a middle class lifestyle. I enjoy being, you know, being mom and being, you know, someone that my kids can look up to and like, wow, mom works really hard and she does all these things that make our life possible as we know it. What about you, Ramsey? In your household, tell us what it's like for you and your wife.
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks for sharing all that. That's all really terrific. My wife is a very well educated, very accomplished, very intelligent, professional working mom, as well. So, in fact, in our lives, I've been the trailing spouse twice. And the first one was, when she went to graduate school. So we had just a couple of options of where, you know, she got accepted to graduate school. And so we chose one and we went to Ann Arbor, Michigan. And then again, when she got like a really terrific job out here in Washington. So that's when we moved out here to Olympia. I've been kind of doing my own thing with my career and stuff. The first time that we moved, I was just at the end of a 2-year kind of contract position. So that was ending anyways, and was able to line up work, through my professional network when we went to Michigan. So that was great. And then when we came out to Washington, I continued working with a management consulting firm that I was connected with. I just started working remotely, and that was in like 2008. So, you know, there was the technology was there, not used nearly as much as it is today, but the technology was already there to work remotely. So for a good year or so, I was still working with and connected with that consulting firm before I transitioned into more of a local position. But, you know, so we have two kids, and we both worked the whole time that the kids were growing up when they were young, had a couple of different nannies, at, you know, different parts. We never really lived in places where we had a lot of family around us. So we definitely needed caretakers when the kids were young. But then, you know, the kids grow up and they're able to sort of do more of their own things. And so, you know, that works out. You know, the idea of work and working women in the workplace, I think has absolutely come a long way. For myself, I've worked in a lot of nonprofit organizations, and I found that in the nonprofits that I've worked in, there's been lots of women in places of in positions of authority have reported to women in multiple circumstances for me personally. And I always thought it was fine. It was, it never was an issue for me. And, you know, so I think that that idea of where it's really rigid, like dad goes out and works and mom stays home, I think those days are pretty much gone forever. You know, we may not have come all the way. Like, I know there's still disparities in the workplace in terms of pay and authority and position and all that stuff. But, you know, it's like everything else, that we've just been making a tremendous amount of progress, you think?
Yes, absolutely. And I also think, you know, to even go a step farther and outside of just working moms and dads, you know, I think we also have to give credit to the families that are not just moms and dads. There's moms and moms, and there's dads and dads. And yep. And so those roles are just, I think there, you can't put families into a cookie cutter anymore. Families are created in all sorts of different ways. And, you know, just going even outside of that work space that we were talking about before, families are just have so many different, you know, looks to them now. There's grandparents raising grandchildren. There's aunts and uncles raising their nieces and nephews. There's, you know, there's cousins, two husbands raising a cousin's baby, that, you know, all those different things out there. You just can't put families into that 1950s cookie cutter anymore, inside and outside of the home. And I think it's really amazing, you know, living in the Pacific Northwest for a long time. It's a very liberal place. And I was concerned about getting outside of the Northwest and losing that perspective from other people around me. But really, I haven't found that in the traveling the country, which you may think, you know, may think that you would. And I certainly did. But I feel like everywhere we've gone, there's been all sorts of families. There's all sorts of full-time RV families. And everybody's really supportive of everyone. And so I think that roles are just, you know, they're just going to go to the wayside. they're going to be whatever you works for your family, whatever that family looks like to you. It's not just going to be a mom and a dad. It could be all sorts of things.
Yeah. I mean, you can sort of deconstruct and ask, well, what makes a family and what does a family need? And off the top of my head, like, I think the number one, most important thing is love, you know, yes. So love and support and, you know, bringing up, the next generation, whatever that is, you know, like, caring for, the kids and I just mean younger people, right? So, right. You know, more grown, more mature people, pouring into and loving and investing in younger people and bringing them up and helping them to, you know, become well-functioning human beings and members of society. And I think the other part too that I would like to put in there is that having more than one parent or more than one caregiver. You know, there are lots of single parents out there, but I think there is something, you know, really valuable and special and about having more than one parent or caregiver in the situation, because it gives different perspectives to the kids and it gives support to the, you know, both parents from each other or both caregivers from each other. And I think there's a lot of statistics about, you know, how kids are generally more well-adjusted when they have, you know, more than one person in their life that is, you know, loving and bringing them up. So, you know, it's not that I'm saying it's bad to have one caregiver. I'm just saying it's better to have more than one. So, you know, families that can work together and wrap themselves lovingly around the kids they're bringing up. You know, that's what makes a family.
Yes, exactly. And that doesn't have to necessarily be a household either. I mean, that can look like so many different things. Like you can have a single mom, but maybe she has a really awesome brother who doesn't have any kids, you know? And he coaches Little League or the basketball team or, you know, goes to Lego Club. So there's like we just touched on there's no cookie cutter for families anymore, I think as time progresses, we all have just gotten to the point where it's families can look like anything, and they also can be chosen. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that you are biologically related. You know, it could be that you met someone who shares all the same you know, ideals as you do and has the same interests, and they're now your chosen family. And you know, I know a lot of friends who maybe don't have who don't have husbands in the picture or wives in the picture, and they spend time raising their families together, so that they do get those different people loving them and having their, you know, having outlooks from so many different individuals, because not one of the two of the same people do not have, you know, all of the same ideas and all of the same characteristics. And so, you know, I would say even, you know, before we left home, we have friends who are more like our chosen family, and my kids have learned a lot from them. Whether it be through sports or through, you know, just spending time together as families, hunting, fishing. I have a cat again today who is really
Really, I
unhappy.
hadn't noticed. I was just thinking that maybe you have a cat as a member of your family.
Yes. Well, that is very, very true and a very good point. I think all families should have pets. They are a
Really?
20. We've talked about this before. They are a 21st century solution in themselves. Our pets are. But yeah, so I think that you're absolutely right that all kids, young individuals, they need lots of support, and that can come in many different forms. And like I said, you know, we've had outside caretakers in our home as well who've influenced my kids and their lives. And while, you know, it's mostly the two of us now, I wouldn't take back that time that they spent with other people.
I'd like to get back to the idea of work actually, a little bit, because I was thinking about that as you were talking, a few different things. You know, this 1950s thing that we have agreed that we've kind of gotten away from is like one person works full time, and the other one doesn't. And so there's a couple things baked into that, like the whole notion of working full time. It's like, you know, there's a lot of ways that people work now that is not full time, right? And there's part time, and there's contract work, and there's side hustles, and like fun stuff that people do that they kind of make money around. And then the other thing, sort of combined with that, is this idea of, does someone want to work? Does someone need to work? Is someone able to work? Because people today have kind of decisions to make around work. I think people are pretty empowered these days as compared to the past. You know, certainly, 50 years ago, there were a lot of doors that were completely closed to women professionally that are much more easily opened these days. And so, you know, women in particular are able to have more and higher level professional kinds of experiences. And then it also gets to that question of, do people want to work? Do they need to work? And what does work look like? So threw a lot at you there, but what do you think about that kind of stuff, the idea of full-time versus side hustles and like people making decisions about if they want or need to work?
Yes. Well, I think that it's every family's choice, their own choice, what that's going to look like for them. But I think more and more we're starting to see that every family has a side hustle, really. Maybe not every, but a lot of families out there have side hustles. I know that a lot of my friends and, people I still associate with from school and stuff, they all have a side gig, rather that be a direct sales. Direct sales have become huge for stay-at-home moms, which is something you go all the way back to the 60s and Mary Kay, and that was one of the only ways for a long time that a lot of moms who were at home could earn money was through that direct sales model, and now it's really kind of taken over the world. I feel like more than half the people on my social media pages have some kind of side hustle, rather that be, they make jewelry or they sell books or, I know moms who vintage shop and retail vintage right out of their homes. I have another friend whose husband worked, and she's a very well-educated veteran, and she started her own business by buying things and selling them on eBay that were not easily found outside of the United States, which is a very interesting business model. And I loved watching her do it from afar, and all of the things, she would coupon and go buy these things and retail, sell Pop-Tarts to people in the UK, things that you wouldn't think of. She was very ingenuitive, and she was able
store,
to,
in other words.
Yeah. And she was able to turn that into into her own enterprise, her husband works for her. It's evolved into much nice. More than that now. There's so many different options out there with the internet now that weren't available before. Like, you can stay home and you can, sell whatever your product is right from the comfort of your own home now. So you're not taking that time out of too much time out of your life that you're used to spending with your children to add these additional side hustles into your business plan or your life and your lifestyle and your home life. I've met moms on the road who are supporting their full-time RV life through direct sales. And what a great way for them to be able to make this work for them, and husbands who had careers before are now staying home and taking care of the children because moms took their side hustles and turned them into something that they potentially never even imagined could come out of it. And so I think it's really exciting to see people taking the bull by the horns from behind their computer or their smartphone, right in their own kitchens. And so whatever that yeah. looks like for them.
Well, I thought it was pretty interesting a few years ago, as let's say Amazon was taking over basically all of the marketplace.
Yes.
Part of the way that they did that, though, is to create a marketplace where people who were, fairly small-ish independent retailers could begin to sell their products through Amazon you know, using their Rails and the same sort of search functions that Amazon had. You know, I always thought that that was pretty fascinating, because, you know, today there's so much contraction for kind of brick and mortar retail operations, you know, people showing up in stores to buy something, especially like small shops. And so you could create a small shop, you could open a small shop that sells through Amazon or through eBay or through Etsy or whatever, whichever placements kind of made the most sense for what you were selling.
Yes, absolutely. Like I have seen moms take, you know, there's a business out of Texas. It's called Makeup Junkie, and she's very well known now. She was on Shark Tank, but she started her business on Etsy, and now she's in homes all across America, and I'm sure other countries too. And she literally started from sewing makeup bags in her and putting them online in her Etsy shop, and now she's in major retailers, and I see people all over the country supporting her brand. And that's another thing that moms, modern day moms, have really perfected, and that's their brand. Everything's about having a brand now. Whether that's through your Instagram, your Etsy page, or your TikTok, everybody is branding themselves and what they're, making their lives better by just being themselves and showing that to the world. That's kind of what we've been given in this 21st century, is the opportunity to really share our lives and our businesses and our hopes and dreams through social media and other outlets over the interwebs. And it's really changed what even a stay-at-home mom that's not out in the workforce as we used to know it, a lot of them have created their own workforce through being influencers and in the direct sales model, and a lot of direct sales become influencers. So it's a really fun time to be a mom supporting other moms and other dads and other aunts and uncles or grandparents and whatever that looks like to your family.
Yeah. Well, and I think it gets to, it gets us away from just the consumerism that the world certainly had in the second half of the 20th century and at the beginning of the 21st, perhaps. But now things like this help us to pivot to thinking of ourselves more as individual producers. And, you know, in many ways, I don't think it matters that much what it is that you're producing, whatever it is that you want to make and do, and whatever contribution that you want to make. That's valuable and useful, instead of just buying everything right off the shelf and having no idea where it came from or no idea who made it. You know, instead knowing and who it was that made the thing that you're looking at, and making some of your own and sharing those with friends and neighbors nearby, and or selling them through the web. You know, that's how we're going to make it through kind of all the craziness that we have. And of course, do you have a side hustle? Do I have a side hustle? What do you think?
I don't have a side hustle. I hustle
yes, you
for
do.
Solar Love.
You have a podcast. Our podcast is our side hustle.
Oh, yes. Oh, I totally missed the mark on that one. Yes, we do. And that is so true. I really missed the mark there. We do have our side hustle, boy, which is our podcast. And, we created this to be able to share things like just like what we're talking about today, to bring them to light and get to have fun conversations about them.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you so much for today's fun conversation. And I look forward to the next one.
Yes, you too.